this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 35, recorded on September 17th, 2024, after, what, a three-week break, Pirate? Because I was getting the itch. I'm glad you said, let's do a show, man. We usually try to keep it to 2 weeks, but we pushed it to three this time, man. How's it going, buddy?
Well, hello, America. And yes, we are back from a hiatus and
a little bit of hiatus. Pirate's a very busy person, so our cadence goes around his schedule, and he fits in when we can. But hey, look at it this way. The longer time between the shows, the bigger the shows they are, and we've got a lot of stuff
to talk about. Show.
We got a big show, or it'd be like the Hodge twins. We got a damn good show.
Got a big show going on here, and we're going to first start off with, it is September.
Yeah.
And it is September 11th has just come by and passed. Patriot Day, they call it, right?
Yeah. Can you believe that was 23 years ago, man?
Yes, it was.
I mean, what a nutty day that was, because like they always say, even in New York City, it was a beautiful September day all across the country, man. It was sunny. It was pleasant.
Usually beginning of September is still nice, summer day.
And, well, especially up north, they get affected with the cooler weather faster. So September up in New York City, they're already in their low 70s by then.
Yeah, it's a comfortable fall afternoon, right?
Yeah, and then bam, look what happened. You know, it's crazy.
And I always like to refer to it kind of as if I might borrow somebody's saying before, a day that lived in infamy, man.
Yeah. Well, that was Roosevelt.
Roosevelt used that. I mean,
a date that will live in infamy.
That definitely was a day that I can remember all the time. And, you know, just a lot of things to consider, you know, that happened that day. You know, liberty was affected. Lots of things were affected from that day on.
And changed my political stances a lot because of George W. Bush. I won't get into the whys of that because this is really about 9/11. But, you know, and you know me, I've you know, that's like my adopted town. So I've been up there a bunch of times. So, you know, I can say I've been up to the original World Trade Center just 2 months before 9/11.
Yeah, you were.
And then years later, I went up the new World Trade Center, and I gladly paid it was $35 to go to the top of the tower.
Wow.
But I gladly paid it. And went to the museum, the 9/11 museum, which was put together very well. Pissed me off again because it kind of relives the timeline. But it was. I think if I can ever get you up to New York City, buddy, I think you would enjoy this museum because that patriotism is still alive in that museum.
Yeah, we like to work out here. We're really patriotic.
Right, yeah. The footprints of the original World Trade Center are still there, and it's a beautiful fountain, and all the people who passed, their names are etched all the way around it, and it's a peaceful park, man, and it's just like crazy to think. I was standing right in the middle of the plaza just looking up at the World Trade Center, looking at the trees, looking at the original World Trade Center, and I said to myself, how peaceful is this? I'm literally standing in what was hell on earth on that day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there was buildings falling down, planes crashing into buildings.
It's crazy, dude.
People jumping out of windows of fear for their lives.
Well, not even that. They jumped out of the windows because they didn't want to burn to death.
Yeah, they'd rather
die by gravity than to burn alive. Yeah, and I probably have to agree with them on that.
There was firemen that went up, you know, up stairwells and
never came out.
Yeah, they ran into hell.
Never came out. But yeah, what a crazy day. But you know the post effect though. I really, because we talked about this in show prep, the patriotism was alive and well.
I remember
that for a few months.
I mean,
for a few months.
Lot of flag waving
everywhere, dude. I put a flag up on my house.
I remember folks
flags everywhere.
Had like on store windows. They had, you know, we support the troops. We support
God bless USA.
God bless USA.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. Hey, Lee Greenwood got popular again.
He got popular again. Yeah,
again.
Yeah, and then, you know, I remember on the back of a lot of semi trucks. I remember like Publix had something on the back of their semi truck doors, and other trucking companies did. Everybody, country singers were writing a lot of country songs. Like, you know, there was Toby Keith was
the boot in your ass song.
Yeah, courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue.
Yeah, I love that song, man.
And there was many other singers that there's a lot of them that sang songs about that day of infamy. And it was a great feeling to see that music was involved. There was even some rock songs, you know. There were a lot of people that were involved in the movement of that patriotism. And there were also a lot of political, like congressmen, senators that led things. Glenn Beck did the September 12th, the Tea Party movement, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, the Tea Party movement was an incredible amount of people with patriotism.
Oh, yeah.
Fed up, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was years later under Barack Obama, though. You're fast forwarding a little bit here, Barry.
Well, they had the September.
You're advancing about 10 years from the September 12th.
Glenn Beck had a lot of stuff he was doing at the time with the 9/11, I remember.
But I understand your point. He wanted to get back to that sense of patriotism, you know, with that September 12th project. But
we've kind of veered away from that.
We have.
Entirely.
Because we're so divided.
We are.
And the media, the corporate media especially, social media has done a good job at it. Because now we got Mark Zuckerberg admitting to censoring on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And admitting that the government coerced him to do it. And now he's speaking out. I'm like, first of all, you're a coward. You know, you're coming out now. You know, and my question is, why are you coming out now? Why are you revealing this now? And some of the play that they're talking about is because he has a feeling that Donald Trump might become president again, and he's worried that Trump will go after him go after the deep staters who were a part of this collusion of censorship, which is completely against our foundation of our Bill of Rights.
I mean, look what they did to Twitter.
Basic freedoms. Yeah, and then Elon exposed Twitter. He found documents from the federal government. Hey, don't say this, don't say that. He didn't go as far as saying they were paid off because he has to play chess game. You know, he can get himself killed as well, all these assassination attempts going on lately. But he did expose enough to basically say the federal government colluded with Twitter to censor information, which is unprecedented. And the people that are doing this want my vote for them, mainly people like Kamala Harris, who's a commie, you know. And I hate to turn 9/11 into this, but that's just where this conversation has evolved to. So because we're about being patriots with this, and that was the beauty about 9/11. And you know, it brought us together for a while, and it'd be nice for us to get back there, but we're so volatile right now. And in the past, I'd be willing to see the other side and see it from their end or whatever. I don't want to anymore.
Well, I think too, there was a different, I don't know the word, but a different generation of political people in the United States, a different class of generational people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people are tolerant of each other then.
Yeah.
We didn't have this divisive.
Weren't so sensitive.
Sensitive and divisive.
Oh, people are so sensitive now.
We didn't have this, you're racist. We didn't have any of this. You're politically
incorrect.
Even
the tone of your voice, even if you're not yelling this younger generation now, say, why are you yelling at me? And it's like, I've not even begun to yell at you.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Right. You think I'm yelling at you. Yeah. I just like, yeah.
You want to see me yell where I got red veins?
Right. I have not even raised my voice yet. I'm talking to you sternly. And it was, why are you? And it's like, boy, this pansy generation we got going
and
on.
And that's
here,
the
man.
Thing is that generation wasn't even born yet.
No, they weren't. A lot of my nieces were not even alive when 9/11 happened.
So they have not really much of an idea. And I don't even know how much their educational system.
They only know it from history books. And to your point right now, what was actually taught to them.
Yeah, because we know, and let's be honest, that there was lots of changes in the educational system, and they taught their rendition of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I have many ideas of how 9/11 went down and why it went down, and I might be part of a conspiracy, but I think that it was definitely a conspiracy against the United States because of some shady dealings, you know, that the United States was doing.
This is backlash.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of backlash.
And sounds like backlash and distraction.
I think it was a lot of distraction as well for backlash, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the government also likes to do business during a war.
There is definitely truths to that, and you have sick people in this world that love to profit off of death.
They like to profit off of destruction, death, because
ruining lives. Even the survivors are, you know, say you survive, your life is still ruined. Your house is gone. There's no work to go to. You become a nomad.
Well, let's talk about
roaming the earth like Cain.
Let's talk about when the United States went over there and, you know, billions and billions of dollars of bombs were dropped on Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the buildings were, you've seen the pictures.
And we rebuilt them.
And we have government contractors.
That's a lot of money to rebuild them things, yeah. Ain't it? Hey, put up a new electrical system, new sewage.
Everything's
not
over
even
there.
Just a new mud hut, man. We're talking, let's modernize them. How about internet? You know, I'm sure these towns who never had internet and got it through our government contracts.
I'm sure they did.
They put you on the Wi-Fi, huh?
Yeah, they got a Roadrunner there now, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, a lot of money involved in war.
And think about Israel.
Mm.
I mean, there's a lot of Gaza has been exploded up to hell and back.
Yeah, and then who's Israel's main military supplier?
Oh, sounds like it's got a U in it and ends with an A.
Yeah, yeah.
And it ain't the Arabs.
Yeah. Not the United Arab Emirates. No. Yeah, no, it is, man. It's crazy. But at least
I think that the patriotism at the time was for the moment.
It was nice.
And the people too during that generation, I think some of them people were still part of the World War II generation.
Right.
Because some of those people in their 60s and 50s at the time, or 70s at the time, were part of the World War II generation. So they seen that happen again into their country, and of course they wanted to be patriotic.
Right.
And of course there were folks our age, and we were grown up with that type of patriotic, you know, we pledge of allegiance. We were used to the flag. We were used to, you know, patriotism all the time, you know,
yeah.
One nation under God type stuff.
And you're right, because I remember back in the day, matter of fact, it was, So it was the same year of 9/11, 2001, springtime. I took my first trip to Washington, D.C., first time ever.
All right.
And, dude, talk about patriotism. Dude, I was blown away.
Yeah, that's...
I was proud to be there to actually see, you know, Abraham Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument. The museums were fantastic, dude. I mean, and we just went to all these different places, the Vietnam War Memorial, the Korean War Memorial. We did the Arlington Cemetery tour, saw the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the Changing of the Guard. I mean, just what a great freaking trip I went. I remember just being in D.C. and seeing the Capitol building and seeing the White House and like, man, this is America, man. I'm feel proud about this. And then 9/11 happened in that same year. So it kind of reinforced my love of this country, you know, but I've changed, man. I'm at this point now in my life where I still love this country, but I don't like where this country's going. I don't like where people are going. I don't like, what is our future, man?
What is the end goal?
Right. Back in the day, man, I was hopeful about the spirit of cooperation and growing as a society and improving. And where have we gotten since then, man? In 23 years, I hate to bring it down a little bit, but this is how I feel, because it's like, man, back then after 9/11, even though that sucked, we felt like, okay, we're going to put our shit together and we're going to be better people from it.
I feel that.
I don't think we really have, man.
I feel
some of us have, though, but.
I feel maybe people have taken many steps back.
Yeah.
In patriotism, in liberty. And freedom.
Well, because all their issues that they come up with, and I'm not just talking woke, I'm talking anything that starts a conversation that becomes controversial. It's just the victimhood and making a big deal about something that most people don't care about. And it's a huge distraction.
Yes.
But it has divided us and it has split us, because I will never see the Democrat or the Republican way anymore. No. I just won't, because I think they're responsible for a lot of this divide. I think especially with corporations, with the media is still 90% lib, but that's part of the play, just to keep getting in people's heads. And then what are the Republicans do about it? They're lockstep and barrel right with them, man.
Oh, they know the game plan.
Yeah.
They know
they're playing the game.
Yeah. They were all emailed a blueprint of what's going down and who's going to say what script and what line. There you go,
the theater.
Yep, they got the theater down pat.
Yeah, so we'll see where this is going, but we got a lot more to talk about. So we got a whole bunch of stuff here for you today, but thank you for listening to the show. And remember, you can download our show at akebonoradio.com. Send us an email at akebonoradio@gmail.com. And we got more segments for you, so stay tuned.
Thank you very much. This is This Day in History, September 17th. So 1978, Camp David Accords were negotiated by President Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Yep. And that was leading to a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel.
I was wondering what that was about.
Yeah.
Glad you filled me in.
Yeah, He tried to be one of them peacemaker, peace negotiators during most of his presidency.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, 2011, the first Occupy Wall Street protest was held in the U.S.
I remember that.
Yeah. 1,000 protesters marched in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And they sought to highlight corporate greed, income inequality.
Income inequality.
Yeah. Inequities, I guess, or whatever.
Inequity.
Yeah.
That's a different word.
Yeah. And then among other issues, of course, really wasn't for the Occupy Wall Street movement.
There was more to that movement. I don't remember off the top of my head. I mean, they stated their griefs, and a couple of them I actually agreed with, but I don't remember what they were now. It's hard to believe that was 2011. I mean, if you would have told me like 5 years ago, I would have like, yeah, man, crazy to think that was 13 years ago, man.
13 years.
Wow.
1972, the TV series MASH debuted on CBS.
Never watched it.
Yeah, you always told me that. I'm blown away you never watched that.
Well, I did watch it, but I didn't pay attention to it because I was bored out of my mind as a kid. Now, I've been told as an adult, I would love it.
It didn't have action in it that much.
I know. It's not about action.
It's about drama.
I don't mind that. You think I'm the sci-fi action guy all the time. No, man. I like a good drama.
I hear it was
sarcastic.
It was. They used to have a lot of one-liners.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sexual innuendos.
It wasn't a comedy per se. What's a sitcom? A satire.
Satire.
A satire. And that's what The Big Lebowski is. Big Lebowski is a satire, not a comedy.
Yeah. And this was like set in the Korean War.
Right. I remember the premise. There were doctors.
Medical hospital. Right. Yeah. Right. They'd have helicopters coming. They would show blood. It was a good show. I loved it.
Well, I got it in the queue, and one day I'll get around to watching it.
The music in the beginning, I can hear it.
I just remember the beautiful nurses or chicks running towards the
Houlihan.
Yeah, and their big old boobies were shaking around. Yeah. And that's the only part of MASH I liked as a kid. You know?
Yes. So 1862, the Battle of Inisheim with 26,000 casualties. It was one of the bloodiest battles.
Mm-hmm.
It actually halted the Confederates' advance on Maryland.
Wow. Maryland,
yeah. So, can you imagine if they would have made it to Maryland?
Yeah.
Knocking on Washington, D.C.'s door.
Lee did push into Pennsylvania.
He got to Gettysburg for sure.
Yep, and then fell apart after that.
Yes. 1787, on this day, the U.S. Constitution was signed by...
I heard about that.
39 delegates of the Constitutional Convention. So this is a big day.
Weren't we just talking about that Constitution with the censorship and all that stuff? That's pretty amazing. It's amazing how far we've come and how far we've removed ourselves.
We have removed way
too much.
Way too much.
Yep.
Born on this day.
Mm.
Very important day today, 1923. Hank Williams Sr.
Yeah.
This is his birthday.
Nice.
Yep. 1923, country music's first superstar from the 40s and 50s.
Yep.
Yeah, he was, you know, the country singer, you know, Tear in My Beer, all that stuff.
Right.
My Lonely Heart, you know. So he died in Oak Hill, West Virginia, on the road through West Virginia at age 29.
Oh, he died young.
Yeah.
Wow.
He had a heart attack. He was addicted to a lot of pain meds, and of course he was a, you know,
yeah,
he was drinking alcohol to mask. Yeah,
where's your body out, man?
Well, he had a vertebrae problem.
Okay.
Since he was a young boy.
Okay.
And you know, back in them days, there weren't a lot of, you know, doctors or what have you, they could fix stuff like that. You know, they just tell you take meds. You know, and you know, it's too bad. 29. He was a loss.
Yeah, I didn't realize he passed so young.
Very
I
young. Mean,
I, because I know his son more.
Yeah, yeah, Hank Williams Jr.
Jr., yeah. I mean, come on, who can't forget the opening of Monday Night Football, man? I miss that jingle. Yeah, Carrie Underwood's pretty and all, but, man, I miss Hank.
I don't even know if they have Carrie Underwood anymore on there.
I don't know, but I just, are you ready for some football?
Hell yeah, I'm ready
Monday
for it.
Monday Night Party. I loved it, man, and the helmets. Dun, 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 dun. I loved how the helmets crashed. They don't do that anymore. It's like, boo. Hey, I still love foosball, but, you know.
Well, him and NFL had a rift, so.
I remember
they,
that.
They clashed heads there, and they did not agree on things.
Yeah.
Politically, definitely, because he is Hank Williams Jr. is a
well
conservative.
We know that the NFL is still, you know, woke and leftists, yes. And I'm still willing to look past it because I love the game. So, and you know what, they've chilled out with it to a degree, not all the way, because, you know, they took sides with that Miami Dolphins player the other day who got arrested.
They tried about Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, they tried to play victim and all this stuff. And then as soon as the body cam footage was released, it turned out he was being an asshole.
Yeah, he was.
And then he tries to act like he's a saint and he's a victim. And then it found out he had a domestic violence dispute a few years ago and he broke his son's arm. So, Mr. We have to find the answers is kind of an asshole himself. So, you know, of course, the NFL right away took his side until the body cam footage was released. And now all of a sudden they got nothing to say. That's pretty amazing, ain't it?
Did they go boom, 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 boom?
Oh, yeah. freaking. Yeah, because he is a loser.
Yeah.
Anyways, what else we got?
1945, Phil Jackson. A one-time American basketball player and coach for the legendary Bulls and Lakers during the Michael Jordan years and Shaq years.
That's when he was born.
Yeah, 1945 is when he was born. Yeah, this is a birthday today.
Wow. Well, Phil, I like Phil, man. Phil did good. He did good with the Bulls. He did good with the Lakers,
Yeah.
He is a legendary coach.
And he played as a player on the Knicks. So.
Oh, he did? He was on the Knicks? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
1975, Jimmy Johnson, a legendary NASCAR race car driver. He drove the Lowe's car and has since retired a few years back. He is now a commentator on the networks.
Yeah.
And in 1900, J. Willard Marriott, what do you think he does?
I think he'd be in that hotel industry.
American businessman who founded the largest hotel and restaurant organization in the U.S. and now the whole world.
I've never stayed at a dump that was a Marriott. They're always clean, consistent, not super expensive, but not the cheapest either.
They're nice places.
They're nice hotels.
They're nice. Yeah, they're good. Yeah. So that is this day in history. Thank you very much.
So we had the Donald Trump Kamala Harris debate last week. Pirate, I know you watched it.
I did.
I got the highlights. Doesn't seem like I missed a whole lot, but definitely got some opinions, but, you know, back and forth. I watched the Cliff Notes version. You watched the whole version. So since you have a bigger understanding of what happened, why don't you fill us in on what you saw, and we'll go back and forth here a little bit.
Well, it was held by ABC News with David Muir and Lindsay Davis. They definitely were siding with Kamala a lot.
Yeah, well,
they
fact-checked Trump.
Definitely fact-checked
him. They never fact-checked her.
Yeah, and, you know, there was definitely letting Harris speak her mind and make her facial gestures and her pointing and looking over at Trump and making these weird gawking faces and just her normal cackling. You know, it was
like she didn't buy into the Springfield, Ohio thing with Haitians eating geese and cats and stuff like that. She thought she that's another that could be a whole nother story in itself. We won't focus on it too much because we really want to talk about the debate. Yeah. But that story is now really stirred it up around this country because it turns out it's true. And they wanted to deny that, you know, immigrants are basically rounding up pets in this neighborhood. But it was a debate question or an answer. So,
that's why I brought it up. There was a lot of non-truthful things said by Harris. I don't recall anything non-truthful by Trump, but it was considered one of the worst and most one-sided debates in United States history.
Yeah.
You know, she was talking about Project 2025.
Yeah, big false claim.
Yeah, and then, you know, saying that he's going to pass a nationwide abortion ban. I don't recall that
he's already said on the record months ago that the Supreme Court's ruling on abortion went back to the states, and that's where it needs to be. It's a 10th Amendment issue.
It should not be a federal thing.
It never was a federal thing.
Yes.
So what happened was in the early 70s, when they said you can have abortion across the nation, there was no laws to back it up. And that's why the Supreme Court reviewed in years of protest, it took a while, and said, look, it's not our place to say whether a woman can or cannot have an abortion. This is a 10th. There was never a law passed. And here's the shame on the Democrats for 50 years of this, because they are pro-abortion. I get it. They had 50 years to come up with a law to back up that Supreme Court ruling, but they never did. So another part of the Supreme Court ruling when they reviewed this was like, there's no federal law that backs this up.
There isn't.
So this isn't our place right now.
And you're 100% right. This abortion thing has no place in an election or in any political party. This is a local and state issue.
Right. And it is.
And this should be
something
where the governor of that state says, we're going to put it out to vote, or we're going to work up some legislation and let those people in that town
decide
their religious beliefs, their idealisms, their thinking. You got a bunch of people that are for it.
Yeah.
Vote it in. You got a bunch of people that don't know where to go with it. Then just, you know, make it a 50-50, you know. Yeah. But this should not decide an election.
No. Well, I mean, but it's just carrying on with this debate. She brought up the Very Fine People hoax again, which has been debunked a bunch of times.
About the Charlottesville.
Yeah, because the Democrats like to say that Donald Trump praised Nazis.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's been debunked.
He's not a Nazi. He's not.
And it's not even about that. They say he praised Nazis because there were Nazis at that protest. But they once again took a statement out of context and they left out words on purpose. He ought to sue NBC, especially for libel. I think he is, or slander, because they continue to repeat things that are not truthful, and you can get in trouble for that. I mean, what else did she brought? She said Putin can do whatever the hell he wants. Harris claimed that Trump told Russian Vladimir Putin that he could do whatever the hell he wants and go into Ukraine. This is false. So she's saying Trump is responsible for giving Vladimir the heads up to go into Ukraine.
Yeah, he said that war would be over with right away. He doesn't want that war.
No, he didn't want that
war. He said if he gets the president elect, that he would. Already,
I don't know how he would.
Well, I think he claims
his influence.
Well,
at least look at it this way. At least have peace talks. They haven't even had peace talks yet.
Well, that's what I think he's insinuating, that he would be making the phone calls and getting these people together.
Let's get the ball rolling.
And get the ball rolling. And, you know, another thing is they were saying, she was saying that Trump had the worst unemployment in his term since the Great Depression. And I think that's horseshit.
That's false.
And it was caused by mainly the pandemic, because prior to 2019, What was going on prior to 2019 in this country, Chewy?
Oh, we were rolling along, man.
We were like a locomotive, man.
Yeah, we were. It was great.
Yeah, things were good, man. Yep.
Prices were low.
Everything
people
was.
People were making good money.
People were going out doing stuff. Mm-hmm. People were going on vacation. Yep.
The pandemic hit. It hadn't been the same since.
People went to Disney World.
We're still recovering from the pandemic.
We're screwed.
Thanks, federal government.
Thanks a lot, people.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, she was denying about that she wants to do gun confiscation.
Yeah.
In her confiscation of ARs and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. She blamed Afghanistan withdrawal on Trump, even though she was in charge at the time. And she boasted about how she was the last person out of the meeting room during the withdrawal, like patting herself on the back, but then turns around and blames Trump for the withdrawal.
I'm thinking the only reason she was in the meeting room by herself is because she was laughing.
Oh, yeah, she was probably there just, you know,
cackling
away.
Yeah.
Sounding just like Jabba the Hutt.
And the other thing is that what she believes is that the tax cuts that Trump wants to, ensue here is that they only help rich people.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
It's a trickle-down effect. Everyone knows this in capitalism.
Yeah.
That if you help a big company out, they're going to, in return, make a profit and be able to turn it into jobs.
Yeah.
And better wages.
Yeah. I just, the debate was just obviously one-sided and it was three against one. And Trump still handled himself despite that. And here's the big thing, Pirate. No big bump in the polls for Kamala. Taylor Swift endorses her the next day.
I remember that.
And now there's indicators going out that it's turning away the fans from voting for Kamala. Like a lot of fans want to do what Taylor wants to do, but they disagree with Taylor. They're going to have to go with Trump because their pocketbook is telling them what's going on.
Sure. I mean,
even Taylor's influence, you know, because there is that, you know, entertainers do have influence on people. And if somebody if somebody as popular as her, you would think that her endorsement of Kamala would give Kamala the big bump, but it turned out it's a backlash. You know what it is? Because people who can read the room understand that Kamala is only a DEI hire. Her and Biden couldn't stand each other when they debated each other. She went as far as almost called him a racist.
Sure.
But later on got the job as VP. She hasn't done jack shit as VP. So that's why they knew, well, maybe we ought to have Joe run again. And that's they knew that she wasn't ready to be president. So they kept Joe on the ticket. Well, Joe messed up at that last debate because we know his cognitive decline, which they denied, was pretty apparent. So isn't it amazing that all of a sudden they boosted her as the VP candidate? Yet the party who talks about Trump's a threat to democracy, this lady didn't get a single primary vote last time. Didn't get a single primary vote this time. So she's been anointed.
Yes.
This spot. And then she picks this controversial governor, Timmy Walz from Minnesota, who had his police paintball people for sitting on their front porch during lockdowns, who is all about Black Lives Matter, who is all about DEI, that was all about wokeism, lying about his military record. He wanted to sound like this a combat veteran badass. All he had to do was, I served in the National Guard for 20 years, and he did, and that would have been it. It would have been, thank you for your service. But instead, and it wasn't just once, twice, three, four, five times, they've got all the tapes of all the multiple speeches that he talked about his time in Iraq and the Dunbar province, and talk about some fishing stories, man.
Yeah, well, let's admit this. Let's admit that debates all the time put a lot of pressure on both candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little bit of time to get what they want to get out there. And what happens is the other person taints it by throwing something out there at them, whether it's a lie or accusations. And then that person then has to either cover up or make it sound better or tell his point of the story better. The
back and forth.
And it's a lot of banter.
Yes.
And what happens is it turns it in the beginning, the first couple statements are great. And then it just kind of falls apart like a Lego building that just fell apart.
And see, to me, most debates are for people who are undecided or they just kind of like that thing. Even though we talk a lot of politics on this show, it's not that I'm actually obsessed with politics. It just happens to be so in our face now that it's hard for me not to know what's going on. It's hard for me to avoid it, is what I'm saying, because I don't want to be caught with my pants down, basically, when shit hits the fan, right?
Well, this is a show about everything, and this is a patriotic show as well. Right. So we're going to talk about it because it's what we believe in.
And I'm glad
we
do. But trust me, listeners, Pirate and I do not sit around and talk politics all the time. We talk a lot of sports. We talk a lot of cowboy movies, even though we have differences in entertainment.
We talk music.
We talk music. But
beer, burgers, whatever. Food.
We talk about upcoming parties. Upcoming
other things, yeah.
But you know how much I admire Greg Gutfeld? Well, he has a three-minute response here I want to play, and then let's opine on it. But what he has to say here was really brilliant. He's basically slamming the system, he's slamming ABC, and his response is brilliant. The guy to me is brilliant. So let me play this clip, and right, then let's
hear it. In.
Who lost? It was the American people. You could say if you complain about the refs, you're losing. Well, if the refs are corrupt, you gotta complain because everybody lost. I actually got dumber watching it. I felt like my brain was being waterboarded by the sheer nonsense of these idiot moderators. But we were so sidetracked by the mechanics of the debate, the muted mics, that we forgot about them. I honestly don't know how anyone can decide who won the debate. That's like trying to guess the price of a painting that you suspect is a forgery. You can't objectively decide a winner in a sham competition. This is truly the first DEI debate, where one candidate was subjected to a high standard and the other was held to no standards at all. They removed the essence of fairness to achieve an outcome that could not be scored. You cannot score that. That is why you can't say who won or who lost. A liberal should be ashamed that your candidate needed the odds to be stalked so heavily in their favor. You know, for many Americans, Harris entered as a mystery and exited as a mystery, and that was the goal, to keep her under wraps. So anyone who attributes that to Kamala's skill is an idiot. Congratulating Kamala for the debate is stolen valor. You should be congratulating David Muir and Lindsay Davis, who did the heavy lifting. And so calling that a debate is disinformation. That's like me going into a bar with Tyrus and inciting a brawl and then later taking credit for all the broken jaws. You know, it's just, and by the way, you're going to say, oh, how do you know that it's a sham? Kamala confidently and casually unloaded all the hoaxes. The Fine People hoax, the bloodbath, Project 2025, the abortion ban. These things have all been debunked. Would she have done that knowing that there would be consequences? She did that knowing there would be no consequences, no follow-ups at all. This was actually a betrayal of knowledge. Knowledge being the act of solving a problem. And we had agreed to what the problem was. Who is Kamala? The debate deliberately chose the opposite path. Instead of the opportunity to gain knowledge, they chose to cover it up and betray the public. You know, I went by this stupid assumption that maybe they would ask Kamala some real questions and follow-ups. I was tricked. I'm like the person who foolishly assumes a partner who cheated on him would not cheat again. But the media always cheats again. And we have to remind ourselves, they have their interests before your interests.
Dude, that's some truth right there, man.
Yeah, that's kind of along the line what I was saying. It was just, they go back and forth, and it's just a bunch of crap.
Well, he took it deep by calling her out, by saying that all she did was repeat all the hoaxes.
And that's so the stuff we went over.
So what that is telling you is she's only spoon-fed this information because she cannot come up with something better on her own for her own answers, and that these moderators allowed her to repeat the hoaxes. So you want to talk about, you know what, say all you want about Donald Trump, and I hear it all the time, he's danger, he's an asshole. This woman is nothing but a robot, dude.
She's a puppet.
There is nothing real or genuine about her. And like Gutfeld said, came out of this feeling more stupid. And if she, according to the press the next day, because I watched CNN and MSNBC, man, she won the debate. Well, she didn't.
No.
Because the points that we've already made in tonight's show, and on top of that, no apparent bump in the polls at all. And now we have an second assassination attempt, which we're going to get to in another segment.
Yes.
I'm not saying that Trump has this in the bag by any stretch of the means. I am not that cocky.
No. We're not.
But that right cocky. Now, the tea leaves, the stars in the skies, it doesn't look that great for her right now.
Well, from a certain point.
Right. But even with all this backing, it still doesn't look that good for her, man.
Well, here's the other thing. I don't think, I mean, let's move it to Trump now. Let's not all one side this. I think Trump had some good points. I mean, he tried to explain their track record. He was trying to talk about what he was going to do, even brought the cat and dog thing up to try to show how bad immigration and the border was out of control.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He pointed out that her campaign is about she's going to fix all the things that she didn't.
That's
fix
exactly what
now.
She said.
Right.
But here's the thing that I think Trump should have done. I think he should have tried to not get distracted by her little circus act.
Yeah.
And I think he should have said, look, America, I want you to vote for me. I want you to pick the right side, and I want to be the right side. Because I'm going to get this country great again, and here's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Not just say make it good, because I feel that word gets thrown around, and people do feel threatened by make America great again, because what does it mean? Mm. No one's ever really defined it to the Kool-Aid drinkers and to the people that need to know what it means.
Well, make America great again is like how we felt on 9/12.
Yes.
That's what it means.
I mean, make America great again probably to most people means safe borders, closed borders, immigration done correctly.
Safe borders.
Yeah. Let's say a safe world.
Not soft on crime.
Not soft on crime.
A lot of the lib cities, every lib city in this country, every blue city in this country. Why is that? Because you guys are soft on crime. You are the party of defund the police.
Not defunding the police.
Right.
Let's talk about, making small business good again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about even making big. Let's talk about manufacturing stuff here. So I wish he would have sat there and really drove home the key points.
They wouldn't let him.
But they wouldn't let him. But he really, he needs, I know he has his rallies and he talks about this stuff, but he also goes, I've noticed in a lot of his rallies, he gets on a tangent.
Yes.
And I wish, Donald, if you're listening, you can listen to just some of this, what Pirate the Peon has to say here.
Yeah.
Because I really think that driving home your key points is important for the people, like Chewy says, that are undecided right now or leaning on the fence or, maybe they were.
That's the thing. It's just this debate was a disaster. It wasn't a debate. It is clear as day that it was stacked against him to make her look good. And back to Gutfeld's point, her only answers was the hoaxes.
Yeah.
She's a hoax in herself by saying that her administration is going to fix the things that she didn't fix now.
Well,
that in itself is a hoax. Howard Dean that,
I remember one of the responses, Trump said, well, you're in the office right now. Why don't we go down to Washington, D.C.? I'll walk down there with you.
Right. And where were the moderators to back that up?
They looked at him when he said, let's just shut this down. We'll all walk down the street here to Washington, D.C. And he goes, let's do what we need to do to get this border shut down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She looked at him and just,
But that's another hilarious part, the border. Now she's all about securing the border. They denied for years there wasn't a border problem. So why are you concerned about the border now? Because reality has caught up to you. You can't cover it up anymore. You stop construction on the wall. You let these people in. And look what they're doing. I've got a segment about that later, about the Venezuelan gangs now taking over apartments in Colorado stuff. But we know she is just a puppet. Apparently, she slept her way to the top. And
Trump stated that as well during the debate.
Right. And basically, Where does she go after this if she becomes president? Does she get a train going on in the White House? I mean, you know, how does that work?
I actually think she should take a train out of Washington, D.C. and go as far as away as possible.
I mean, that'd be funny, man.
Yes. Gotta give him that huck, too, and spit on that thing.
Well, that's what she did to make her way to the top.
She earned it.
Yeah. But all right, man, I'm done with this. Let's move on. Let's move on to we'll take a little break here, and let's talk about this assassination attempt. What do you think?
All right, we'll be back.
All right. So had a second assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump. The second attempt in 60 days. What's going on here, Pirate? What happened to the peaceful, loving friends of the left here? I'm assuming this guy's a leftist. Turns out he actually is a leftist. The first shooter in Butler, Pennsylvania, they try to label him as a Republican because apparently he did donate money to the Republican Party. But what the media didn't want to talk about or what people didn't want to bring out in the debate, he also donated to the Democrat Party, too, the first shooter. So I think that offsets each other. The guy, let's just say the guy is crazy. He didn't like Trump, took a shot at him. He missed. This guy is a total Kamala guy, total Democrat donor. You know, multiple times been arrested in the past.
Well, he's got a lengthy record.
Yes.
His name is Ryan Wesley Ruth.
Yep.
And he's 58. He's from North Carolina.
Yep.
He is considered having delusions of grandeur, and he has the Messiah complex, according to reports, when he's been evaluated. And he has definitely traveled to Ukraine recently.
Yeah, he's a big Ukraine guy.
Big Ukraine. He wants to fight the Russian military. He was rejected by the ground force.
Man, even the Ukrainians are like, no, you go away. You're too crazy.
You're too crazy, cool boy.
Yeah, you do not help with the comrade cause.
You're not a good shot either. You can't fire a weapon very good. You need to take target practice. Golf range.
But this guy donated to the Democrat Party 19 times. And, you know, I'm just bringing up facts here. And I bring up that, you know, anytime there's a shooter, our friends on the left always want to say he's a Republican. But as soon as you just wait a little bit and do some digging, it turns out it's usually one of you Democrats. And here's the thing. This guy was a convicted felon. So that means he was actually barred from owning any firearms. What happened to the gun control there, Pirate?
Well, apparently he knows how to get them on the black web somewhere.
No,
or he buys them in the corner out of someone's trunk.
It comes down to it, with the gun part. I don't want to hear about gun control anymore from the left. They lost their arguments because they never back it with principles.
No, there is no principle.
And so the gun control that's supposed to keep the guns out of the convicted felon's hands still had it. Now, the guy did not take any shots. The Secret Service actually fired upon him.
Yes, they did.
And they arrested him.
Well, they said they seen a barrel. They were sending a Secret Service ahead of Trump in each hole.
Yep. To assess the hole.
Assess the situation, assess the whole area, looked around. He said, you know, got on his little Batman radio. I see a rifle and they said they had snipers along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the sniper took a shot into that bushes, you know?
Yeah.
And,
but here is a failure though, in the security, no one walked the perimeter before the golf outing, which is another questionable Secret Service move.
Well, and the thing is he's not a president, so he
doesn't get the full protection.
Doesn't get the full, and I guess too, the sheriff of Palm Beach had said, you know, normally under a condition where the president, say President Trump was actually president and he was going to play there, he said normally we would have a sheriff's presence around the perimeter.
Right.
But he goes, because he's still in the election,
okay,
it doesn't get that jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, that the Secret Service did their job well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he did comment that. But
well, you're not going to slam your own security. You can do it behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we need to talk. But something's fishy, though, because people want to know how this guy knew Trump was playing golf. How did he get And I say that's insider information.
There's got to be definitely
There's a mole. There's no way. Nobody, unless you are an insider, knows where President Trump is going to be, much less President Biden or Kamala Harris. That got leaked somehow. And we've definitely got a problem here because think about it, dude. Second attempt in 60 days. I'm not here to just blame the Secret Service, but something fishy is going on here. And it's the media already was like, well, he needs to tone down the rhetoric. He did this to himself. I guess they forgot all the rhetoric that they've put out there by calling him a Hitler, by calling him a dictator, that saying he's going to end democracy. He's going to put people in jail that he disagrees with.
Well, that's exactly what they're trying to do is pour gasoline on the fire on purpose.
But that's what it is. But the media says that he needs to tone down the rhetoric while ignoring their own rhetoric.
But they're the ones causing the rhetoric. Right.
Even NBC's Lester Holt, who one of the few liberal guys I kind of respected but lost a lot of respect for, he said he blames a Trump assassination attempt, and he said, quote, baseless claims about Haitian immigrants who are eating people's pets, end quote. So even Lester Holt, a guy I did respect, is now saying what Trump's saying is a hoax that turns out that's factual in Springfield, Ohio. Because these people were abandoned. And the reason why these people are eating cats and birds and whatever, because the government abandoned these people, our government. They were led into this country illegally, dumped off in Springfield, Ohio. Benefits ran out. Government ain't taking care of them anymore. They wanted to be dependent on the government. So they're hungry. A lot of this is a survival situation.
Sure, and they probably do that in their country already.
And I get the cultural thing. But when you're hungry, you're hungry. You're going to eat an animal. And that's what's happening. But they denied that. But now it's turned out that it's true. Even that city council is getting recalled because they refuse to talk about it, or they put out some bullshit statement about that's not happening up there. And the people are demanding answers and they're trying to ignore it because, again, bunch of freaking libs. It's always these libs who are never consistent, who never have principle, who have no standards, because, again, it's about the emotion. Denial in itself is an emotional response.
The fact that shame on that local government, the fact that they would get dumped there by the feds and no one look after them, no one have an end game plan
here. That was by design.
Yeah, and here's the design. They want them to be dependent on the government.
Until the government cut them off.
And then the government did cut them off.
Yep.
And then the city just you know.
Whatever.
Just sweeping it under the carpet. You know, this is a shame that it even got this far. It's a shame that they were even dumped off there. They should have never been dumped off there from the get-go.
Well, but back to our topic at hand. Second attempt.
Second attempt of the
60 days. There is something funny going on.
Well, I mean, who's to say there's not a bounty on his head?
Well, that can be easily done amongst you and I right now if we wanted to. Sure. I'm not saying that we are, but that's
who's to say there aren't a bunch of Trump haters out there that they have a bounty and it's just, and you know, there's a lot of people that are copycats as well.
But the lack of principle, why is the anti-gun party pro-gun all of a sudden?
Well,
they don't want to admit to being pro-gun, but the guy had an AK-47, man.
Well, they use that gun as a way to get back at the so-called right or Republicans or whoever's on the right, because they're always clutching to their guns and Bibles, right?
Right, right. But yet this guy had guns obtained illegally. So what kind of law stops an illegal? And that's what they don't get.
Nothing.
Exactly. A criminal is a criminal. And basically, with their future gun control aspirations, they want to turn you and I into criminals if we refuse to do it and put us in the same camp as these guys, which is, again, divide and conquer, man.
Well, that goes along the line of the abortion. Just like with men like guns, women like babies, they're using that to get into the minds of people to control you, to get your mind to say, oh, I'll just listen to them because I want abortion. You know, I want it to happen, yeah. or I don't want abortion, or I love my gun, so I'll just do whatever it takes to be on their side. And I think that that's another tactic, another ploy to get people on their side.
Well, it's pretty apparent that there are some deep, dark spirits going on in this country to have a presidential candidate of Trump's popularity. Even if you can't stand him, I get it. If you can't stand him, you're not going to vote for him. But something really evil's going on where twice now it's come very close to ending it. And the conspiracy is, it's exactly what the people on the left want.
I really don't think this was a random thing.
I don't think it's random either. Not two in 60 days. No, I mean, even the first one, that kid had no business being up on that roof, man. How did he get that close with police?
He had balls.
With police, he did have balls, but with police, with Secret Service, there is some purposeful incompetency going on.
Yeah.
You know, they found out that some of the Secret Service agents in Butler never went through any formal training. They were Department of Homeland Security transfers. They took an online course. So it's back to the last podcast where I talked about Trump basically got the B team for security.
He did get the B team.
And it sounds like he still has the B team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's definitely something that,
How about Governor Ron wants to open up his own investigation? He already says, I don't trust the federal government to do this proper.
It needs to be investigated. We need to find out who's
a separate investigation.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
He's basically saying he's going to do his own, and he has the right to do it.
Yeah, a state investigation.
The federal government, of course, is going to conduct their investigation as well.
I wouldn't believe their investigation.
But that's the point. Boom.
The state investigation would be better.
Right, what kind of bullshit are they going to throw in?
I would never believe. I never believe what they say to begin with, because every other investigation they have, I look at the last time when they had the hearing with the Secret Service and the director there.
Disaster.
It was a disaster, and it was all denial.
Deny and spin. I wasn't privy to that information, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, no one knows anything, it seems like. No one was in the right place at the right time. No one knows anything.
Right.
No one knows who was where or what.
Right.
Well, and it's all by design.
Well, thank God that he's alive, he's in good spirits, and the media and the left continue to expose how biased they are, how slanted they are, and even trying to be as disgusting as this, turning this around on him and blaming his rhetoric while ignoring their own rhetoric, which Donald Trump and, you know, conservative media like ourselves and other conservative media is calling them out on, saying that you've got plenty of nasty things that you've said about him as well. Don't act like that you're not playing a part of this, because they are. They're part of the machine, too.
Well, here's an idea, too, is when does this go away? Because when Trump, if he becomes elected, when he comes out and does his speeches, do we have to be worried that there's going to be a rifle scope sticking out of the bushes somewhere?
Who knows?
He loves to play golf.
Well, and
is that going to be a continuing problem?
But a lot of this, too, I understand what you're saying on the security front. On me, on the message, the media, when is their accountability going to be held on to? Because you're not allowed to slander the way they do and do defamation the way they do and lie the way they do. I'm not saying there's limits on freedom of speech, but freedom of speech also has consequences about, you know, you can easily say, if I egg your house, well, that was my freedom of expression. Yeah, but you just egged my house and now the paint's chipping and I got to clean that up and all that stuff. So it's the effect of it. It's not so much the speech of it. It's the effect of it. And, you know, for them to blame Trump for this, I'm like, you people are freaking sick. Because, again, with politics, flip it around. What if somebody took a shot at Kamala? Do you think they're going to exonerate Trump over that? No, they'll be immediately blaming him in the MAGA movement.
Oh, they will.
You are the violent ones. You're the gun-loving people.
Oh, they definitely start coming after guns real quick.
Oh, yeah, but yet it's happened to Trump now twice. Where's the outrage? Well, they do want to. They think banning assault rifles is the answer.
That's the end all be all for them.
Yeah, you get rid of the ARs, man. We'll be good.
Well, there's plenty of other weapons out there to dumbasses.
Exactly.
And the whole thing about the media is they're just not willing to accept that there is going to be exposure
to them
from Donald Trump.
Oh, they're not willing as they should.
They're not willing to accept a defeat. The leftists are not able to comprehend being defeated.
Well, they need to be held accountable when it comes to slander, when it comes to defamation, because they constantly do it. Even Lester Holt here, who I kind of admired for being a NBC guy, I said, I can watch him now and then. Now I really don't want to watch him anymore because it's like, man, that's really pretty disappointing that you would lie on national television about Donald Trump, you know, with stuff like that. But yeah, that's all I got to pretty much to talk about there. We got other things we want to move on to. You got anything else you want to fill in before we move on, Pirate?
Well, I just hope and pray Trump can stay safe and use.
Yeah, thank God he's alive.
Use common sense. Maybe even put on a couple bulletproof vests. And
probably is going to happen more often now.
Yeah, he's going to have to also just wear bulletproof glass, you know, and just be careful where he chooses to go until we have. Excuse me. We know we have, what, one more month until election, you know.
Pretty close.
And I know he has to campaign a lot from now until
then. Oh, yeah. And no more debates.
No more debates. We don't need them.
Well, it's a waste of time.
It is. It's
people
not.
People have made up their mind by
it's
now.
It's not productive.
Well, and people have made up their mind. It's not even productive. It's slanted.
Sure is.
So, all right.
Let's break.
Let's move on.
Yes, yes, yes. This is the Florida Man News. The stories that everybody wants to hear.
My favorite part.
Florida Man arrested for keeping alligators in backyard swimming pool. Go figure. Marion County, you know where that's at, right?
Yep.
Well, Robert Miller, allegedly 42 years old, was taken into custody for charges of illegally killing and possessing and capture of alligators.
Oh, he was killing them. I thought he was just having them as pets.
Well, he probably was eating them or making boots and unlawfully taking slider turtles.
Oh.
So, officers arrived at his home in Oklawaha, and they received a tip about him having two alligators in his backyard swimming pool. How about that, man?
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine coming over to your pool to go swimming and there's alligators?
Oh, my God, man. That'd be
slithering around.
I'd be like, nope, I'm out of here. My alarm goes off.
So the two FWC officers questioned him about it, and he denied having alligators on his property, but later admitted they were in his pool. And they had been there actually for about 3 months, the report stated. And he explained that his ex-girlfriend's friend had placed the gators in the pool and claimed that he tried contacting FWC.
So sure.
His story keeps growing here. And
he's sure we're talking about the same people.
And he did not have any phone calls placed. They had no evidence of his call log that he had tried to
take. Yeah, he's a dumb shit that's been caught.
Oh, yeah. And so he admitted to killing an alligator with a pickaxe due to a dog and 20 cats in the yard that love going down by the lake.
So he said he was protecting his pets.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So inevitably he was placed under arrest, booked into Marion County, and of course he was released the next day. So, and the two alligators were removed by the pool from a nuisance trapper, and the turtles were returned to the pond. So a good thing happened there.
What a loser.
Florida man allegedly used syringe to squirt unknown liquid on girls' buttocks at Ross Dress for Less. Then, started filming.
At first I was just like, well, how'd you get the girl? But no, it's just random girls at Ross Dress for Less.
Yeah, so this 25-year-old Florida man is behind bars.
Uh-huh.
So here's what he did. He's facing felony charges and a battery on a child involving bodily fluids.
Oh, my God.
And a misdemeanor charge.
Was it semen?
I don't know. It could have been anything, man. Let's see what exactly says here. The the girl told Miami police that she was shopping at the store, when patrons came up to her and told her that a man wearing a Miami Dolphins hat and holding a syringe squirted an unknown liquid on the back of her jean shorts and then started filming her. What the hell? What the living hell, dude? What does his jolly, what jollies is he getting off doing that, dude?
God.
Witnesses reportedly told store employees of the incident who called the police. And of course the suspect fled. He always does before deputies arrived. So they are also investigating a similar incident in June with the suspect wearing the same Dolphins hat. So this guy is a repeat offender of squirting people. It is a the officers did get a search warrant and went to his home, and they recovered three syringes with a vicious white liquid consistent with semen inside his bedroom.
You gotta give him that huck.
They also found the same clothes in the surveillance video.
Well, there you go. As I suspected, it was semen.
Oh, man. You guessed it right, Chewy. You get the ding, ding, ding of the day.
Yeah. Where is that one? There we go.
Uribe was taken to Miami-Dade Corrections and Rehabilitation because he needs some rehabilitation.
Yeah, he does.
And he remains there on an $8,500 bond. You know, he has a case trial coming up. So what a story there.
Nice.
Florida man wins $1 million in a gas station scratch-off ticket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I mean, hey, I'd love to do that here. This guy here is I would love to. This guy here, Roy Boyer, 54, of Shalimar, which is... I think that's a little bit north of here.
Don't know. I just remember Shalimar Jewelry from East Lake Square Mall back in the day. Remember that place?
Actually, this is up here in the Pensacola area, so it's way north of here.
Okay.
So he got a Monopoly doubler scratch off for $20. Mm-hmm. So he bought a little bit above average ticket here.
Yeah.
And he chose to receive his winnings as a one-time sum payment of $798,000.
Mm-hmm.
It was purchased at a raceway. Unbelievable. That is congratulations to him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes. Well, we got another one here. Florida man, and you might not like this, y'all, but this is what the Florida man does. He does some stuff that people just don't like. And this is definitely a serious one. Florida man throws chihuahua off balcony like a football, sheriff says.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
I can't believe there's headlines like this in this state, dude.
Poor puppy, man.
Poor dog.
I know.
So, Tampa, Florida.
Oh, geez. Even
right in our backyard.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, Jesus.
Florida man was...
Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
Florida man was arrested over the weekend after deputies said he throwed a 3-year-old chihuahua off the balcony like a football. Of course, he left the dog with several broken bones here on Sunday. Oh, actually, this is not Tampa, Florida. The story was conducted in Tampa, Florida. This is Lee County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, that makes it a little better.
Fort Misery. Okay. They were called to the Blue Pearl Animal Hospital regarding an injured dog when detectives learned that the man had dropped off this chihuahua named Raven and said a friend had thrown the pet off the balcony like a football. But then the man proceeded to get into an argument with the veterinarian before leaving the hospital and his dog behind. Raven was left with multiple fractures, including broken leg, broken mandible. He's expected to make a full recovery.
Good.
Detectives were able to locate Raven's owner, who led them to the suspect, which was allegedly 30-year-old Dalton Chad Salsa. And he was arrested for animal cruelty and charged. And it is a very disappointing to learn of an innocent animal abused by an owner they trust. I will continue to do my part.
Yep.
To stand up for those who cannot protect themselves. So that was the Sheriff Carmen Marceno. It's a
what a loser.
Yeah. So that is the Florida Man News.
We are live in 3, 2. All right. News items and pop culture, maybe a little tech in here. Back to Kamala again, since this is not a border, not a debate thing, but her border failure strikes again. There's terrifying video that shows armed Venezuelan migrant gangsters taking over an apartment complex on Aurora, Colorado. The takeover is a direct result of the Biden-Harris regime's dangerous open borders policies, which he's allowed criminals to pour into our country unchecked. What do they say here? The city officials initially claimed that the closure was due to code violations, but residents and local leaders aren't buying into it. So you see, even the local government is trying to cover up for this lib crap that's going on right now. But, you know, don't worry, pirate. When she becomes president, she's going to close the border.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, the sheriffs did go into that apartment complex and arrested those, you know, those gangsters.
Cleared them out, as they should. But ain't it crazy how, you know, we're basically importing criminals, you know, taking over our buildings.
Well, there's no vetting of anybody at the border, and that's the big to-do here, is because we're like Trump said, they're opening up their prisons to make – to make space in their prisons. So they're letting out these criminals that might, you know, might be first time, second time, third time offenders or what have you, but they're clearing out. They might even be clearing out bad criminals. You know, there's rapists and all that. They're letting them all out into to the border.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're getting right now.
That's the result. That's what we're getting out of it. Here's a crazy one here. And this is an excerpt from Wayne Allen Root. He opens up with, "The easiest criminal case to prosecute in history, Mark Zuckerberg just confessed in writing and implicated the entire U.S. government in the Biden administration in a conspiracy to commit election interference, extortion, treason, mass murder, and crimes against humanity." And he says, "I have a life and death question for you red state attorney generals and DAs, the most important question in modern history. What the hell are you waiting for? Because we just uncovered the greatest conspiracy to betray the citizens of America and commit treason since Benedict Arnold. But this time we can add mass murder and crimes against humanity, and the confession is in the writing for all the world to see. The massive criminal case is gifted in the bow and wrapped. So what are you waiting for? Mark Zuckerberg confessed in writing in front of the whole world to the terrible crimes against humanity, the U.S. Constitution, and the American people, all because he was forced, extorted, and I'm guess bribed, blackmailed, or threatened by the U.S. government and the highest officials of the Biden administration. Just days ago, I made the case for red state AGs and DAs to go after low-hanging fruit and indict Kamala and Tim Walz. The precedent has been set by the New York AG Letitia James and New York City's DA Alvin Bragg. A red state AG or DA can fly any criminal case they want, file any criminal case they want, even the middle of a presidential election. If they think the crimes have been committed, it's their duty to incite and prosecute." So basically, without going off about his whole thing, he's basically calling out the deep state. He's calling out the Republicans. Why are you not suing? Because the federal government and Facebook squashed our freedoms.
Yeah.
And labeled things, even today, separate but not separate. Hillary Clinton said that anybody who does misinformation should be prosecuted and go to jail. So who becomes the arbiter of truth? Even if we're going to go with that, which is already a dangerous path, but who gets to decide that?
Well, I mean, if Kamala's in charge, we know who's going to be in charge of it. If scary Trump
thought,
is.
Scary thought, ain't it?
Yes.
Yeah, crazy. But Tim, I brought this up on the show before. Tim Poles brought it up. Where are the Republican DAs and AGs suing them for what they've done? They've gone after Trump for all these bullshit charges. Why not stir the pot?
I am so blown away that we don't have anything going on against them. No, nothing. Investigations, nothing.
Investigations, but not anything that's going to lead to court that can prosecute.
Nothing sticking.
Nothing sticking. Well, that's part of the machine. Here's a sad but nice story. Lonely dolphin may be behind series of attacks on swimmers in Japan. So something non-political. A single bottlenose dolphin is believed to be behind a series of attacks of swimmers in the Japanese seaside town, possibly out of loneliness. Japanese broadcaster NHK reported on August 20th that a man in his 50s was bitten on both hands that morning by a dolphin that approached him as he tried to shoot away at the beach in Tsusaragura in Fukuyuki Prefecture. He was the 18th dolphin victim since July 21st and the second in many days. In the past 3 years, 48 people have in the area have suffered dolphin bites. NHK reported, leaving some with broken bones. Wow, man. That's crazy that this dolphin is basically looking for attention. But they said, the experts, his bites appear to be playful, suggesting the dolphin mainly wants to interact with humans rather than attack or harm them. But because dolphins have a lot of sharp teeth, even a gentle bite can injure them. Dolphins have never been known to attack people. So I think it's more playful. But, you know, like look at my arm here, Pirate. That's from a golden retriever. Did I get pissed off at him because of it? No, he was greeting me.
You didn't throw him off a balcony like that other fella?
Yeah, like a football. but Warner's swimmers in the area have been told just to keep an awareness of what's going on. If you see a dorsal fin, just get out of the way because, you know, you might get a little nibble by this, what seems to be a playful dolphin. RFK calls for COVID criminals like Fauci to be jailed if Trump wins election. Oh, man, where's the applause for that? I'm all for that, man. Yeah, Robert Kennedy Jr. has said that if former President Trump wins a 2024 election, anyone who engaged in criminal behavior during COVID-19 pandemic will be held accountable. Kennedy is currently in line for a health-related position in Trump's administration since he's no longer running for president. RFK Jr. declared that there needs to be a reckoning brought upon those responsible for crimes against the pandemic. Oh, absolutely. Kennedy said that Anthony Fauci would be the first to face criminal charges. Absolutely. Yeah. That son of a bitch spearheaded the fear and the panic and the divide that's going on in this country. We were talking about the divide earlier. COVID divided a lot of us. And there are still Kool-Aid drinkers out there that don't see that Fauci did anything wrong.
He was just trying to do this country better. What he knew best.
Well, and my biggest thing, and I've said it before, is I wish Trump would have never completely followed all of his disinformation.
That was his biggest mistake.
He was fooled by Fauci.
Oh, yeah. He went on to note that effective treatments were repressed, including ivermectin, which he said was a very devastating cure for COVID. It literally obliterated COVID. By depriving people of ivermectin, many, many people, millions of people around the globe died and didn't need to, Kennedy added. Because, yeah, they went after the hydroxychloroquine, they went after the ivermectin, and they said, no, those are no good. You got to take this experimental shot versus pills that's been around for decades. Known treatments. They try to call it horse dewormer. He said there were many cures for COVID from day one, very effective cures, but they didn't want that. They wanted the vaccine only, Kennedy said. If they admitted that any of the treatments were effective, the whole vaccine project would have fallen apart. Oh, yeah. A lot of pharmaceutical companies wouldn't have made the money. So, wow, man. I'm all for that, dude. Talk about actual prosecution that should happen. That should happen.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. We'll see it when I believe it. You know.
Yeah.
I'll believe it definitely if I see it. But
yeah,
damn it, man. It's amazing that he's gone on all these years and nobody's ever done anything.
Yeah. Well, didn't you have an RFK story to throw in?
Yeah. There's a news that he is going to be investigated by the current administration because
who, Biden?
No, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, but the current administration is Biden.
Biden, yeah. They're going to they're saying he's being investigated over the story that he decapitated a beach whale. And of course Robert Kennedy says that this is over decades old story that he's talked about. He transported its skull across state lines.
Uh-huh.
Apparently he done a lot of, like you said, medical and veterinarian labs, and he was working with the National Fisheries Institute says that they were investigating him for collecting a whale specimen over 20 years old. That's what he said. Yeah. This is all about weaponization of the government, folks, against
political opponents. Of course.
And he says that this was all for laboratory work that he was doing. It's not like he actually went out there and killed this whale head. He argued that the dead animal was protected by, you know, marine mammal, and
it's already dead. It's not like he hunted it and killed it.
And you know, they're saying it's a felony violation and the Lacey Act.
Some of these laws are too much. I mean, you know, around here you can get in trouble for petting a manatee.
Sure,
it's a federal violation.
Yeah,
ain't it?
Yeah.
Great, just for petting it, not even harming it, just petting it.
Well, they're just saying you're not allowed to transport any wildlife, dead or alive, but. This guy was doing laboratory, scientific, medicinal work.
Medicinal.
Yeah, that's the word. But anyways, you know, and this happened sometime around 1994, he said.
Yeah, this is a nothing burger, man. They're stretched, man. They're stretching here. They're reaching.
Isn't there
aren't there Venezuelan gangs that we should worry about?
Yeah, and shouldn't there be statutes of limitation on this anyways? Come on, man.
Right. 1994. Yeah, 30 years, yeah.
30 exactly. years ago, well, man.
Statute of limitations didn't seem to work for Trump on that New York City case with the real with the hush money, man. They shit on that and revived it and ignored rules or whatever, but
well, you know, and he also admitted to dumping a body of a dead bear in New York Central Park. So
he's a hunter.
Yeah. So I maybe he just needs to until this campaign's over, not talk about animals for a while.
Yeah. Well, I got one from Kennedy here, and then we'll wrap it up with some headlines, some fun headlines. He put out a tweet the other day. What MAGA really means? Go back to what. You know how some of these people don't fully understand
what I was talking about.
Right, what you're talking about
a lot
earlier.
Of people do not understand it.
Well, this is his interpretation of MAGA because he's joined the campaign.
Yes, he has.
He has endorsed, and he's a Democrat who happens to be supporting a Republican candidate. But he says the phrase has troubled liberals who think it's a call for a return to America before civil rights, gay rights, and women rights. But I have a more generous interpretation. One that is truer to my experience of Donald Trump as he is today. Make America Great Again recalls a nation brimming with vitality, with a can-do spirit, with hope and belief in itself. It was an America that was beginning to confront its darker shadows, could acknowledge the injustice in the past and present, yet at the same time could celebrate its success. It was a nation of broad prosperity, the world's most vibrant middle class, an idealistic belief though not consistently applied in freedom, justice, and democracy. It was a nation that led the world in innovation, productivity, and technology, and it was the healthiest country in the world. I have talked to many Trump supporters. I have talked with many in his inner circle. I have talked to the man himself. This is America they want to restore. Man, that's another one right there. That's a great way to put it, you know, and those of you who are threatened by MAGA, what about that are you threatened by? I'm trying to understand.
So. Yeah, I mean, this is for everybody, and MAGA is for all.
Yeah.
You know, it's make everybody in America, because that's what it is. Whether you're an immigrant, you're a white, Hispanic, you're American Indian, you're... Yep. Indian from overseas, you're whatever you are, black, yellow, green.
Yep.
You're
it doesn't matter.
You identify as a it or who or whatever or
shim.
We are all Americans, and let's make it great, because in the end, you know, put all politics aside, don't we just want to be a good country?
In the past it was our differences that made us great. Now it seems like our differences are differences, and that's it.
Everybody's against each other and saber rattling.
But look at it this way. There are certain people I just won't even talk to about it anymore. They're not worth my time. They're not worth my energy. They're not worth my breath. I feel like I'm talking to a wall when it comes to them, because they refuse, where I can see on the other side of things and call it out. They refuse to see that side of things. It was their way or the highway.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yeah.
We've got one more here. This is a fun one, and it's for our local people. Tampa International Airport releases new renderings of Airside D Terminal. So TIA, our favorite airport, has released new renderings of what's going to be the first terminal opening in 2028. TPA 16 gate, $1.5 billion airside D, D as in Delta, will be the airport's first newest airside in almost 20 years, according to airport officials. The terminal design includes two levels plus a mezzanine for two airline lounges with views of the airfield in the bay, international passenger arrival processing area on the first floor, and shopping and dining location at the center of the airside, offering 360-degree views of the gates. Airside D will be located northwest of TPA's main terminal and will feature ample natural light and views of the bay, according to the Tampa Bay news release. The design is per process is currently at 15%, so official says these images are subject to change and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, look at that. We're getting a new terminal. It'll be all the way around. We haven't had a full airsides at TIA in years. So
wonderful.
Well, you don't travel like Chewbacca, but I do. So, and it's a great airport, man. We have a good airport here, man. We have efficient airport, on time, easy to get around. Plus, come on, man, it's got a Hard Rock Cafe. You can have a couple beers and kick back, you know?
I would travel if this country was about taking care of the middleman in this world, the hardworking blue-collar people like myself here.
216 barrels of rum.
That'll make you feel better.
Instead, I got to work, you know, triple hard to pay for a damn, gallon of gas or a bottle of water or whatever the hell I'm buying nowadays.
Am I not the captain of this ship?
Damn straight, Skippy.
That's what you are. Well, let's finish with some headlines and we'll wrap it up here. Just got a few of them to have some fun with, but let's go with it. Molson Coors says woke no more and DI policy shift to avoid the Bud Light treatment. So Coors is going non-DEI.
That's Miller as well, too, you know.
Teachers who won court battle after refusing COVID-19 vaccine is barred from school.
Good.
So, she won the court battle, but they're still pissed at her. They won't even let her into the school anymore.
Oh, well.
You know.
What are you going to learn there anyways?
Well, exactly. You know, they told her, if you don't take the shot, we're going to fire you. And they did. And then she sued them and won. And they still barred her from the school. Sounds like sore losers.
Get a different career.
You would want to go back there anyways, right? 82% of U.S. workers believe parents had easier time saving for retirement. I believe that because they all had pensions back then. We don't have that.
No, and things were a lot affordable, too, right, as well.
Man in Hawaii shoots and kills a mass shooter and promptly arrested for murder.
Nice
lib state there for you. He stopped a killer, and they arrest him for murder. That's, man, but that's a blue state for you.
And that's going to deter a lot of people from doing that type of thing.
Yep. That they don't want you to do that. They don't want you to take
no good deeds.
I know, no good deed. Charles Barkley sheds petty, jealous WNBA players when it comes to talking about Caitlin Clark. They could not have screwed up Caitlin Clark this worse if they tried. Yeah, a lot of aggression has been on the court against Caitlin Clark and stuff said in the press about her. Yet she's responsible for getting all these women on charter flights now and everything because of the popularity of the WNBA, but they're beating her up, man. And Charles basically is defending her and saying, this is bullshit, knock it off. She's a great basketball player. She loves basketball. It's just because she happens to be white is what people are taking issue with. I thought we were past all this race stuff in 2024. Apparently not. COVID shots no longer free of charge for everyone. So if you were going to go get this new shot, you might have to pay for it now. Are you going to go to Publix and pay for it, part?
I am never going to Publix for that ever. And I'm never going to pay for that either. Damn it.
All right. Biden wears a Trump hat. Could that be the October surprise? He actually wore a Trump hat at a fire farm as a get together at a fire station recently. There are rumors that he's going to come out against Kamala because he's pissed off that they took him off the ticket because they never got along to start with. We knew their relationship was fake.
I think someone put that hat on himself, on his head to...
You think his cognitive decline, he didn't realize
it. He didn't realize that it was a photo op.
Yeah, photo op in a negative way. Taylor Swift's endorsement of Harris ends up prompting more people to vote for Trump. Tito Jackson, music pioneer and brother of Michael Jackson, died at 70. So I guess
rest in peace, Tito.
Yes, rest in peace, Tito. Jane's Addiction issues apology, cancels show after Perry Farrell and Dave Navarro's onstage fight.
I've seen this.
Well, Perry Farrell attacked him. Dave was trying to be cool about it, and the roadies jumped in. And yeah, the The tour's on hold right now.
I guess he said the guitar was so loud he couldn't hear through his headphones.
And that's not Navarro's thing. That's the soundboard, you know?
Yeah, and he was really wanting to sing, and he got into it. And then I guess afterwards, Perry was crying about this. I read this story. It was...
Remorse?
Well, you know, yeah, he was having remorse. And I've heard that this happens a lot with these two.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
A dozen of Hezbollah members injured after their pagers explode. More importantly, where's their time machine? Yeah, breaking news today. Thousands of people were injured, like four dead so far. Their pagers blew up, and they don't know how this happened. How are there explosives and pagers? Well, Pirate is asking me this earlier in show prep. It's pretty easy. It's called plastic explosives. It doesn't take a lot of weight. All it requires is a small electric charge. Boom. You know, crazy. And scientific research suggests that drinking up to 3 cups of coffee per day may help your heart health, at least until next month, when the next study will show you drinking 3 cups of coffee per day actually killed you 2 weeks ago. And that will go ahead and wrap it up for news items and pop cultures and headlines. And that's going to go ahead and get us to the end of the show there, buddy. We covered a lot, talked about a lot. We're about an hour and a half in. I think that's a good time there. Anything else to throw in before we wrap it up?
Be good to each other. Be good to yourself. And enjoy every day to the fullest, folks.
See ya.